Welcome back to another R3 on Haphazard with me, your host, John Horsley, John, J, JN, whatever. Johnny, John, man of no name, the man of many names, that is me. Today I want to talk about con burnout, mostly because it's something I'm experiencing, and I haven't been doing it long enough to really fully be experienced, but I am. As of recording this episode, we just got back from our third San Diego Comic-Con. And while I love Comic-Con and I love going to San Diego and I love San Diego itself and I love going through and experiencing all that cons have to offer, and I kind of have experience with Emerald City Comic-Con, so I've been going to Emerald City for the better part of since it started. I've gone to a lot of the shows, most of them, probably more than half of the Emerald Cities that have come out, and I've gone to, I think, the last five or six in a row. And it's for the most part, I have fun and I enjoy it and I love it and I love seeing my friends and stuff, but I'm kind of getting burnt out, especially on San Diego, because San Diego one costs a lot of money to go there, just to get there. I mean, I'll give you kind of a little bit of a breakdown, but like this year we went with Sadie, and it was just Kaylee, Sadie, and I, and our hotel for four nights at a really shitty hotel in National City was $900. And I know there's people who paid a lot more than that, and that was a deal, but I mean, $900 for a hotel room for 4 days in San Diego. And then our flight down for the three of us, that was, you know, another $1,300 after taxes and everything. That was just to get there. Plus add another $100 on top of that for Uber, you know, to get to the airport and home from the airport. And we're sitting at well over $2,000 already just to get to San Diego and everything. You know, Ubering to the hotel, Ubering to places down there, food. We had to eat, so we had to buy food every day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and snacks. And we tried to do it the best we could. We went to Walmart and got groceries for the week. But still, you're at the show and you want a drink, you got to pay $5 for a water and, you know, $11 for a small cheese pizza. It gets ridiculous. And food is expensive. We went out to dinner a couple of times, and then for the three of us, San Diego during Comic-Con, going to a restaurant, easily $100. $100 for three people to eat, it's not terrible, but it adds up quick when you're somewhere where you don't really have the ability to cook food. You know, I don't know. The cost isn't so much a deterrent for me, mostly because we save up for it, we plan for it. We plan to go to Comic-Con. We plan Comic-Con costing us a couple $1,000s because, you know, we have to fly in and get a hotel and stuff. And that's most of our cost is just that. But then you have to add in the cost of anything you want to buy, and then anything you're doing down there costs money. You know, we went to the San Diego Zoo, which was another $160, but that's not a Comic-Con cost. That's not why I'm talking today. It's about burnout. But for San Diego Comic-Con, my biggest problem with San Diego Comic-Con is you walk around the show floor and it's this almost the same every year. Like, yeah, the displays change, the layouts of people's the booths for the big companies change, but for the most part, it's all the same. So much so that the preview night we went there, we walked in and we could walk directly to all of our friends' booths because they were all in the exact same place and see everybody we wanted to see real quick and, you know, get around. And it just, I like some variety, you know, and I really think they need to play with the layout and stuff and move. I mean, and they do, because like the layout today is not the same layout as it was back in 2006, 2004 when I went for Comic-Con San Diego. But it's very much, it's hard to, if you just looked at pictures of Comic-Con from this year and last year, you wouldn't know the difference because it looks all the same. And it is, I'm getting kind of sick of all the people. I mean, I say that, and I know how elitist that sounds on the surface, but there's just too many people at Comic-Con. And I'm not sure we're going to go back next year. Like, we probably will, because it's San Diego and I'll get excited for it. And I do have a good time. And I do really enjoy going down to San Diego once a year for Comic-Con and seeing Pat, seeing Dennis and Jeff and Stefan Frank and Sumner and all my other friends down there and Kyle. And I love the community and I love, you know, seeing people enjoy what they love. I don't love the security at the show and I don't love the people who work there that try and are too big for their britches and kind of fucking piss me off, but that's another story. But the actual, like, the just burnt out on the same shit. Now, that being said, I did have a really enjoyable time with Kaylee going through, and Sadie going to comic book booths at Comic-Con and digging through and finding Iron Fist comics and other comics for the collection and to read. That was a lot of fun, kind of reinvigorated that side of what I want to do at shows. But I think I need to change. I think I need to change up what I do at shows, because for the most part, when I go to Comic-Con, any Comic-Con, I don't do anything except for walk around and look at the booths and tables. I don't go to panels. I don't go to the events. You know, I don't go to the masquerade and stuff like I want to. I've always wanted to go to those things, but I just never do. I think I just need to bite the bullet and just, I think I need to change up what I'm doing at cons, and Kaylee and I need to do things differently. I think if we did that, it'd be a lot more fun. I mean, back at Emerald City Comic Con, I was on a panel and with Greg Smith and Michael Tanner and those. It was amazing. Michael Tanner and Ryan Fisher and a couple of people. Greg Smith couldn't make it. But, you know, I had a ton of fun doing that, being up on stage and talking about my comic and being creative. I loved it, and I would love to do more panels, and I need to go to more panels, because that's where the real fun of Comic-Con is, going in, sitting at a panel, hearing people talk, ask questions, interacting with other creators, other people of like-mindedness, and that's the real heart of Comic-Con. I think the consumerism portion of walking around and buying stuff is just different. I've done that for 20 years, and I'm kind of over it. I mean, I still like to go dig through bins and go see what's there, but I don't think I need to go walk the show floor and see things that's at every booth for 5 days. Because once you get to like Saturday and Sunday, at least in San Diego, and coming to be up here in Seattle too for Emerald City, it's a lot of people, and the aisles are packed, and you have security guards or people who work there that are just D-bags and keep moving, no standing, and everyone's like, we're not fucking standing, we can't move because the line's not moving. And it's just really frustrating. That part of Comic-Con is really frustrating. I just wish that, I don't know, I understand they need to keep things moving and people can't be blocking doors with fire exits and stuff like that, and I don't disagree with having people to remind people, hey, you can't sit on this door, it's a fire exit. But then again, I ask myself, and I ask Comic-Con, you know, if you've never been to San Diego, then let me explain this to you. To get into Comic-Con from the outside of the door, you have to walk through a door, which is open. Only a couple of doors are open on the outside. You have to walk through a door, which there's volunteers standing by there reminding you to tag your badge. You have to tag your badge to get in, which is fine. You know, let them know you've paid for your shit, and you go in. Once you get past that, to get into the actual show floor, which is through another set of doors, the doorways they have, there's probably, let's just say for sake of argument, there's four sets of double doors that they can open up to let you in and out of the show right there. However, even though you've already tagged your badge at the main entrance when you came in, you already had to go through to a volunteer, show them your badge, scan your badge to get accepted in, there's another set of doors. And they only open up one bay, not two, not three, not four, just one of the bays. And they have somebody else there to look at your badge to make sure you're allowed to go in. I really don't think we need that double security there. I mean, if you get past the first one, you're going to get in you should be able to get in and just walk into the second one. Because really, you're not even allowed to be in the show floor without your badge. Not in the show, but in that first section there without your badge. And if you are in there without a badge, you're going through a very specific area, which is security guarded, to go upstairs and get your badge. So I don't think the double door, the two doors to get through is important. And that brings me back to my point about the fire exits, is they tell you you can't stand against those doors that are closed because they're fire exits. But then if they would just open them up and let people go in and out, one, it would make getting in and out of the con so much easier, and it wouldn't be blocked everybody off. But then if the doors open, people wouldn't stop in front of them and try and sit next to them because they'd be open. You know, it's just common fucking sense there. But it's frustrating that they do that. And I get it. They want to funnel people through. They want to funnel them in through the one little door in each section. And they want to be able to check to make sure you paid for your badge or whatever. But you're already in. You've already scanned. Come on, let it go. Let people in. I think, besides me being burnt out from walking the floors and the floors being all the same, my biggest complaint about any con is security people who get overzealous. Now, mind you, I'm not saying all security people, and I respect and appreciate the work that the security personnel do at shows to keeping us safe and keeping people following the rules. But when there's rules to just be rules and they don't make any sense and they're just, in my opinion, dumb rules, it gets frustrating because when you're walking down an aisle of a show and you're walking, you know, basically ass to balls to the person in front of you and the person behind you, and you're being told to move, move, move. You can't stand here. No lines, no standing. But however, if there's a line to buy something or for an exclusive or for a big company there, that's fine. But you can't just stand and look at something. It's so bad that if you're at a booth and you're looking at something, there's a good chance someone's going to yell at you to keep walking. You know, no standing, no looking. But that's just really fucking frustrating. You know me. I'll say all this shit here and then be all frustrated with it. And probably when you hear this, it'll be Comic-Con next year because I have so many episodes recorded before this for R3. And I'll be like, oh, I went back to San Diego Comic-Con, loved it. And, you know, I will love it and I will go back and probably because I think next year we're taking Jake and that's going to be a lot of fun. You know, and Jake's going to love it, hopefully. I mean, I'm sure he'll love it. He loves comics and anime and all that kind of fun stuff, just like his dad. And, you know, it's just, I don't want to be jaded when I take my kids. Like, when I took Sadie this year, you know, she didn't really see us being frustrated. We were frustrated together, but we didn't, like, talk to Sadie about being frustrated. We kind of had the fun, and it was her first time going to Comic-Con, and she loved every second of it, which is great. And I want people who enjoy it to enjoy it, but I think, like I said earlier, I think personally, Kayla and I, we need to change the way we approach Comic-Con. And instead of going, quote-unquote, shopping on the show floor for 5 days, we need to plan out more, and which I've never done for Comic-Con. I never really planned out what I was doing. And went, okay, I got to go to this. I want to go here, here, and here, and then actually do it. I mean, a couple years ago, last year, with my sister and stuff, I did have a bunch of panels I wanted to go to, but we never went to any of them because we're always too busy just walking around. But I think I'd really like to plan out panels, plan out signings I want to go to, do meetups for the podcast and stuff, just for fun, and do all that. So I think with that being said, I'm going to take a pause here, collect my breath, get some lunch, then I'll come back and talk more about con burnout and from a different perspective. Con schedule from last year, where I went to like 8 or 9 different cons last year. I went to, you know, Portland, Emerald City, Rose City, Wizard, Jet City, Ace Comic Con, San Diego Comic Con, and more. And then this year, where I literally have just gone to Emerald City and San Diego, and I don't really like, there's a chance I might go down to Rose City, but I haven't gone. I didn't go to Rose or Ace Comic Con. I didn't go to the Washington State Summer Con, which was the Toy and Geek Show last year, which I went to. You know, I missed a lot of cons this year just because, you know, I got a little burnt out last year. And for Spoiler Country, you know, I did an episode for all the cons I went to. I kind of think it hurt the show because there was just too much con stuff, not enough new content. Which were that show's going back into, but it was just, you know, the con shows are fun. And like, I love meeting people, interviewing stuff, but it's just so much. There's just too much. There's too many cons. I mean, I know there's a lot of cons and people love them because they get to go and meet stuff and find stuff, and not everybody goes to every con. But when you go to a lot of cons, you find that you just see a lot of the same stuff. So this year, you know, we've cut back our cons, which is funny because we're about to up our cons a lot because the Irons book will be coming out soon. As of recording this, at least, by the time you hear this, it's hopefully already done because this is going to air for months. Hopefully, it's already out and published, and you've already bought a copy and you love it. And I'm working on or publishing book too. But you know, once the Ein's book is released, I'll be going to cons all the time to sell it and to promote it. But it's been kind of nice this year not doing a bunch of cons, just doing San Diego and Emerald City, the two big ones for us at least. And it's been a nice break because, I mean, honestly, I got burnt out last year because there was a time where it was literally going to a con week out, because it was like Ace Comic Con, Washington State Toy and Geek Fest, Ren Con, Rose City, Jet City, and those were all in the span of a couple of months, and some of them back-to-back weekends, and it gets crazy. I understand why somebody like my friend Dennis, who just has been doing cons for a decade, is like, I'm ready to take a break and be done, or at least have somebody else run my booth for me. And that's awesome. I mean, I'd love to. It'd be cool to be able to have somebody else run the booth for you, and then just show up to sign autographs for the art if they wanted to, and still make money. That'd be awesome. But I mean, I say this all this now, and I know that sentence was kind of a lot of this is, but I say this now because, you know, I'm just getting done with San Diego, and it was exhausting, and kind of some of the stuff I talked about wears on you, but ultimately I'm sure I'll be back next year for San Diego. I'm sure I'll be doing more cons everywhere, and I do kind of love it. I do love the people there. Like, if you listen to the Spoiler Country episode, we talked to Kyle Wadiga, and he kind of describes it well, where he's just like, you know what, I'm going to cut that in here. I'm not going to try and describe it. I'm just going to cut in from Spoiler Country us talking to Kyle Wadiga, just a subsection of it, of him talking about why he loves the con, and it makes a lot of sense. So let's cut that in.
And as soon as my contract ended, he called me about a week later and had me working on freelance for what became Bombshell Series 1.
Nice.
You did fall right into it.
And that's how we met you.
That's pretty much. That's how I met you guys, is you guys
being super annoying in line.
Bugging me at the con. But that's also part of why I love Comic-Con, is I would have never met you guys in my entire life if I hadn't been here. And yeah, we're obviously all bonded by these things that we love. And this is a celebration of everything that everybody's into, no matter what that is. And I love it.
Yeah.
I'll never stop coming as long as I can. I came here in 2005 for the first time. I walk in the doors, because you could just do that back then.
Yeah, I remember.
And there was a guy in a full-size Chewbacca costume, movie accurate, doing the sounds, taking pictures with people, and I was like, how do I stay here forever? So
this is my home now.
That's right. Yeah, Chewie, we're home, right? Yeah. So I kept coming, and eventually, like everybody tries to, I eventually turned the corner and started being paid to be here instead of spending exorbitant amount of money.
I'm still working on the being paid part.
You're getting there. I mean, the microphone helps. It certainly makes you look much more official.
It does. It really does.
And yeah, 2013, like, you'd think after 7 or 8 cons working here, I'd have my soul sucked out, but this con really rejuvenates me. I mean, like, my body is broken and wasting away, and my feet, I can't feel my feet anymore, but like the creative energy and just like the overall positivity I feel with fans as we interact with them, and you see like it gets really easy to just be like behind your desk, like just drawing, like, oh, nobody cares about this, like, I'm just here, I'm earning a paycheck or whatever. And then you come to Comic-Con, and I meet you guys like you, who are like, we waited for 3 days and we still haven't gotten it, we're coming back in line again tomorrow and we need to have it. And you're like, oh man, oh, this matters, who put all this dust in here right now? So yeah, it's incredible. I love coming here. I think this is one of the best years I've had. Just being around, and I also am taking more care of myself a little.
Yeah,
you know, less parties and
getting older, man. Getting older.
That's right. I am getting older. So.
The gray hair's coming through.
It's, you know, we call it silver where I come from.
I know.
So
I know.
Yeah, my girlfriend likes to say I'm made out of metal, which makes me feel good, like I'm Colossus or somebody, who's always been my favorite X-Man. But
really?
Oh yeah.
Why?
Big Russian dude who will do anything for his friends and can convince all the hot ex-babes to pose nude for him in the ex-cave. Like,
so yeah, you can check out that full interview over on Spoiler Country. It's really good. It's from our San Diego episode from 2019. And if you haven't yet, check out Spoiler Country. And also make sure to check out Kyle Wadiga on Instagram. I'll put a link in the show notes so you can go. But he's just Wadiga dude. W-L-O. I'm not going to try and spell the rest. Sorry, Kyle. It's fucking weird spelling. But yeah, check out his stuff. He's really talented, and he's a really good guy, and I'm glad him and I became friends. But I think that's going to wrap up this episode about con... I can't even think right now. by just kind of being burnt out. Con burnout, that's the words I was trying to say. When it wraps up by con burnout, I mean, I don't really have much more to say. I don't want to sit here and just repeat myself. So until next time, guys, this has been John on R3 for Haphazard. Haphazard Adventures, found everywhere podcasts are, or over on ytcl.net. Hopefully by the time this goes up, you'll see all the cool changes on the website that I'm working on. But as of right now, recording this, I'm working on modifying the website to make it more user-friendly and more awesomer. That's a word. And just so if you are paying attention, this episode is recorded on the same day that I'm seeing Spose. So I'm sure by the time this goes up, I've already released an episode about Spose. But this will let you be kind of a little behind the scenes of when this was recorded. So, all right, guys, have a good one.
Recording now.
You dumb.
I'm ready.